קודם כל שלום לכולם. אני לא שומע.
First of all, hello to everyone. I can't hear you, so come on, tell me too. Oh, great, good kids. Now, what's asked of us, another 5 minutes, we should wait another 5 minutes, because of our friends around the world who watch us, they will be able to hear us, they're still not prepared. I guess usually we begin the lesson a little bit later, at like 3:10, 3:15 in the morning, Israel time. So we were asked another 5 minutes. Okay, to try not to fall asleep. Try to smile. Come on, you know, like, say like cheese. Because everybody's watching you. You know, usually you guys are watching Neighborhood in Israel, not they're watching you. And many people in the world, only in Israel, about 300 people are sitting there, men and who are watching, and the rest of the world clean. And this is also going, of course, through all our networks and internet cables. So let's try to be an example. We learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah that the substance of creation is the will to receive. You can't change that. It only rises and rises each time more and more in humanity, and we need to read it and to put up with it. And we're found to be always in this intention to receive, that we want to use it for our own good, our own self. This light bothers me very much. If you can't shut that light off, do whatever you want. Just that light, it's blinding me. So the will to receive, it's always in us. But that which is dependent upon us is how we use it. That is called intention. And the entire change that we have to go through with ourselves is only by the change of intention. Why am I doing every action thinking some thought? What am I doing? What am I thinking? What do I want? Everything is why. And thus, when we come to the lesson, and the lesson on the wisdom of Kabbalah is not just a lesson, it is some treatment. Like when we go to a doctor, some chiropractor, someone who's giving us massage, or, you know, some different treatments. Our lesson is also some treatment of our desire, our material, in which we can change the will to receive by its treatment. Actually, every day, every few times that we are in this treatment, we have a greater chance to change our nature. But just coming to the treatment is not enough. It all depends here, you know, not like my ordinary state that I come to some, I don't know, some massage. I like massages. It's not enough. I have to know what for, why specifically do I want to receive the treatment and the result, its result. What change does this have to do to me? And just how much I am along with the others, with my friends, that we're together in that same goal, that we should strengthen the desire of each and every one to truly receive good treatment by our lesson. That we should not just be hearing, listening. That even we may not understand a thing, but we want it to influence us according to our intention to change. So we should know. Now we have to know why we're entering this treatment. What exactly am I supposed to treat? Do I need treatment? What exactly do I need treatment for? What has to change in me? What form do I have to receive? And what form do I have to exit from that same treatment? And if I'm just coming like so and sitting in this lesson, it's not enough. The teacher can be wonderful. The environment can be very strong and very good, but it won't influence me. So we have a few components here for our success, the success of my treatment. From the lesson that I'm listening, that it's not just any lesson, it's my cooperation in the treatment of the soul. It all depends upon a few things. The teacher, let's say, how much he directs us think about the treatment. It's dependent upon the environment, my friends, just how much they want the same goal along with me, to heal and to come to what we desire, the correction of the soul. And just how much I myself am impressed from the teacher and from the friends. And entirely it's not important how much I understand. It's like when I come to the doctor, do I really know what he's doing to me? I don't know. Usually what they tell me, we don't understand. What are these words? And they even intentionally use such a language that we won't be able to understand them. They call their medicines in names that you can't even remember. And more and more. Rather, I need to know just one thing. I am now sick. And from this, I'm sick from something. And I'm now going to be healed from this something. And there is a mechanism here that it, according to my request, according to my invitation, it will influence me and make this work for me. It's all according to my request. Thus, we yet still need a preparation for the lesson in which we come a bit before the lesson. We read something, think of it. Sometimes it might even be worthy waking up half an hour or an hour before the lesson. I'm saying wake up before, because Israel, we wake up early, and here you're after work, so you have an even bigger opportunity all day to think, to prepare yourself. How do I come to the study in the evening, to that same treatment, which is absolutely, can finally give me such a big change that I will suddenly feel that I am healthy. We know sometimes we have headaches or some other different pains or problems, or we're sick, we have fever, and suddenly within a few minutes and it all disappears. We feel that's it, we're gonna go get healed. I'm already healthy. It happens. And that same action, I want that to happen to me during the lesson. And this is all dependent only upon our preparation. The preparation for... the preparation is called Keter. It's what the matter which is determining that everything that's expanding afterwards is expanding from the Keter.
And everything we'll learn later during the lesson, with the wisdom, with analyzing, synthesizing, connecting, detaching of all the subjects in the lesson, we're going to go through different subjects with many questions, answers. That same intention before the lesson to be healed, that has to accompany me all along through the lesson. In such a way that there won't be a word, a sentence, questions, answers, arguments, whatever there is during the lesson. It will all have a place only on the condition that by them I want to be healed. And if I don't have that intention, then there's no use to listen or ask, because there'll be no use. Therefore, we have to get used to it. To do many exercises that will constantly will have these two thoughts. One is, what am I speaking and asking and doing and everything as usual? But a more internal thought, what do I want from it? That's more important. And this must be as my main concern. And in externality, then I do act as if I'm interested in the lesson, as if I'm listening. But again, I'm saying that the main thing is this inner demand to receive this healing. And I constantly need to check myself that my thought of being healed, of healing my soul by the material that I learn, that I hear, that I discuss, it has to be more important and more important than the actual topic of the lesson. If the topic of the lesson is more than my intention, then it's called that his wisdom is greater than his actions. Actions means, what do I want from this healing? And the wisdom is just the topic of the lesson. So again, I always check myself that my main thought will be constantly, when will I feel that the concealment is being removed? I asked Rabash about this, and I had great arguments with myself, because according to my structure, the way I'm built as a person, then I like to study. I barely remember myself reading any novels. I was always attracted to reading science books since my childhood. And it was very difficult for me to sit in the lessons, in Rabash's lessons, and to think about that I need healing for my soul, for my desire, for my ego, and not for my mind, that I'll understand the structure of the worlds, of the potsufim, of the actions, and the way that it works, and how I have to react to it. It was very difficult for me to think that not through knowledge or my mind, but through this demand from the study that I don't even understand anything in it, and that will influence me. But that is the way it's arranged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. That Kabbalists wrote to us about the world that we don't feel. We don't understand it either. But, and only on the condition that we read their material, just as something that is almost unclear completely. But the main thing is that we yearn to know. To know means to perceive it. Because our world, we feel through our senses. And that's how we have to feel the spiritual world as well, through my senses. And then next to these senses, I develop a mind. Like in this world, that we begin to clarify it, scrutinize it, and then the mind develops alongside with the emotion. So the mind develops only when there is something to sense, to feel, and if you don't feel, then no mind can be developed from it. Same thing in spirituality. I have to yearn to feel for it to open up for me. What does it mean that it's concealed? It's concealed from my senses. And I have to open it up for my senses, for my five senses of the soul. Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, Zera, Anpin, and Malchut. And when I'll begin to see, to feel, to smell, everything, and then alongside with that, I'll be able to understand what it means that I see, what it means that I feel, that I touch. Otherwise, no. That's why when we begin with you, our study, to think only about one thing, that the concealment will pass, and that we will feel the spiritual world here and now. No, it's not mysticism. It's not there's something virtual. But it's revealed in our senses together with this world. When it will be revealed, we'll understand. But we have to actually feel it. So that should be our intention, and we shouldn't leave it. So this is as a preparation for the lesson, in addition to what Seth Bogner told us. Questions? No questions. Okay. There's a microphone over there, and whoever wants, then he has to go to the microphones and ask. The Kabbalists wrote in a language that's concealed, and we don't understand what they spoke about. And what you mean is that we understand it through our senses, and that's through this literature of feelings. What it says in the books of Kabbalah, we don't understand a single word. We can play around with the words. Keter, Chuma, Bina, Zeran, Pin, Malchut, or Parzufim, or worlds. Different degrees of coarseness. Different names. Gematriot. But besides words, we don't know what is behind each and every word. What does it mean, Netzach? You can say it's a sphira, and, but what? You don't have any pattern inside of you, any emotional pattern. Where our matter is the will to receive, a desire. And if in this desire there is a phenomena, then we call it an emotion. If there is such a thing inside my matter, then that feeling constructs certain form. And then I can say, ah, that is called Keter. Oh, okay, this is called Chokhmah. Oh, this is called Bina. So, corresponding to each and every inner emotion, then I have this pattern, this emotional pattern. And then I have something that I can talk about. If you felt the same thing, then according to my words, I can pass on to you information. You extract those emotional patterns out of your memory, and then you feel what I feel. I can transfer my emotion to you. That's the language between us, the spoken language. that I send you words, or an email, or just off by heart. Never mind which form. But on the other end, instead of words, then you have these emotional patterns. That's called the spoken language. That each one can feel what the other one wants to let him feel. For spirituality, we don't have such a thing.
We have never felt it. We don't have these structures within us. Kabbalists tell us some things. They're saying many, many things, many books, and many books. But I don't understand anything in these writings. We say, what is in our world that we feel, in all languages, all emotions, everything we can only go through, it's a small, tiny spark of the upper light that appears in the material, in the will to receive, in the desire. And the smallest spiritual sensation, yes, above the barrier, which is no longer just the spark, rather the light, but yes, even the smallest degree, it's a billion times more, let's say, greater than that small spark that fell from corporeality to spirituality in the Big Bang. And it's incorporating everything that we feel, everything through history. We don't have any understanding, and not the strength of this spiritual sensations. We have to prepare vessels of sensation for this. This is our entire work. Imagine for yourself a small baby, and now you want to give him some, I don't know, adult food, music, theater, all these different things. How is he capable of receiving that? So yes, we grow up 20, 30 years until we're ready for this, yes. In spirituality, we also need in this manner to prepare ourselves. What is the preparation? It's preparation to learn all sorts of emotional structures, impressions, yes, a bit of words, a bit of tastes from all these emotional impressions from people around us, how they're behaving, from nature. This is everything that we learn over the first years of our life. And then later on, we begin to understand life itself. So, how do Kabbalists pass on these vessels to us? Because we're not found to be in the spiritual world. They tell me like this: if you want to feel and you read about the spiritual world, I am arranging for you such an influence upon you from what you're reading that will influence you, even that you don't feel what is spoken about. This is the matter of the surrounding light. That from the second half of the barrier of the concealment, there comes an influence to us of some illumination, and it operates and operates and operates upon us. And slowly, slowly, as Baal HaSulam writes in Kuf Nun Hei, in the introduction to Tess, mm-hmm. it slowly brings me in such a manner all sorts of impressions, these new impressions. Usually these new impressions, they're unpleasant, because they come to me from the opposite world. That there, everything is built according to bestowal. And by us, everything is built according to reception. It turns out all these sorts of good impressions there, for me here, there will be some unpleasant emotions. So we have an additional problem. I need to prepare myself to accept these unpleasant things in my sensation, but to be prepared for this, that they're unpleasant, and to desire to receive them, to accept them. Despite this, yes, because it's important. Where is it important from? I don't know. Where can I take importance from? But if I won't prepare myself for the opposite world, I will not accept any impression from it. I will run away from it. Do you understand? I need to now advance towards something unpleasant. If I'm entirely built from an egoistical desire, the intention to receive, I can't advance towards something unpleasant. I don't have strength for this. Rather, only one thing. We're going towards many unpleasant things in life. Yes, we get up for work, all sorts of problems we go through, only on the condition that we know that we rewarded something from this. So, I need to convince myself that despite that spirituality is unpleasant for me, but it, in any case, it's very important. How will I convince myself in this? I'm told like this: you can do this only with the environment, by the environment. So thus, around each and every one of us, there is an environment that I can enter this environment, this society, to brainwash me, to convince me that spirituality is something very important. Eternal, whole, pleasant and nice, and something truly good. The unpleasant thing, it's not so bad. When the importance should be higher, should be above the unpleasantness. In our life here as well, we have such examples that we choose something important despite it being unpleasant for our body. People engage in sport. Let's say it's very difficult. Yes. Oh, it's important for them to be healthy or famous. They make an effort. They exert themselves in science, let's say, and from day to night. They work and work, and only to be rewarded with some Nobel Prize. No problem here. Or maybe some medallion. What's in this medallion? It's this piece of metal. But it's important for in the eyes of the audience. So look at how much our world is arranged such that it's very precise for our spiritual attainment. On one hand, we begin to feel that our life is not worth very much. We die. Life itself, it's not that not that great. On the other hand, the point in the heart awakens and draws us to something high up, to the opposite world. There is the society that can explain to me, you can prove to me that it's very important to attain spirituality. And there are the books that if I will reach the book after all these means with the correct intention, I am inviting on myself such a force that it opens up for me the upper world. Everything is arranged before us. And if a person is sure that everything is at his disposal, and he prepares all these means from before the lesson, yes, before the lesson I have to check myself. What's my attitude towards this world? Not that great. Yes? The crisis is going to get increased, yet it will help us very much. The spark in me, that which I received as a present from above, the group that's next to me, and the whole world, the teacher, my friends, and the books. If all these things, I take them all in the correct manner and arrange them in the correct attitudes, relations towards that same time called the lesson, that I'm in this meeting, in this contact, this connection of love, this very intimate meeting with the upper force, then absolutely I can receive from there that which will heal me. Wait a minute. Nobody is just sitting like that and asking a question. You have to get the microphone, stand up. Wait a minute, we can't hear him? Can you please fix the microphone? I can hear him, but not through the microphone. What about family? If they're not studying Kabbalah with you? You said we should surround ourselves with people who are studying. My family is totally opposite. What can we do if what to do if the natural environment is all against you, against his engagement in Kabbalah? Look, the decision is of course up to man himself. The soul, the desires are ready to develop, that for tens of thousands of years we're in this development from incarnation to incarnation, from life to life. We reach a state that after all this development, this gradual development, we have reached a state in which we have been given awakening to the spiritual world. We've been in this world many times. We went through this life. It's not simple. It's very difficult. Much more difficult than today. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us suffered quite a lot in previous reincarnations. If you compare it, this incarnation is, I don't know, it's like a pleasant trip. In this world, meaning. But we have been given today, in this incarnation, an awakening to ascend, to reveal We have to discover the concealed world. And in each and every one of us, there is the beginning from this sensation of the upper world. That same point in the heart, that it draws us, it pushes us there, and a person can't be calm. He can't calm down. We see that when such a thing awakens, yes, through all sorts of means and events, it's hard to imagine. There are people not only from the US, yes. We have friends even from China who have come here. Person may be from the very edge of the world, I don't know, in Chile, in Brazil. There are people who are listening to us from Siberia and Russia and Europe. Along with our Congress, we have many Congresses in Berlin, in Rome, many, many places.
We have to send them regards. We'll do it tomorrow. It's our friends from all over the world. So you can see, I'm always surprised how people receive this point in the heart, this awakening for spirituality, from a place that, how did it even arrive to him? But it turns out that we're in this field, this spiritual field, and there all the souls are. There's no matter, there's nothing from this world. There's only a spiritual field, and in it there are the souls in this field. And there are souls that are awakened to discover this state. And it doesn't belong to this world. Therefore, if the soul awakens, a person mustn't listen to anyone, because the Creator gave him an opportunity to come closer to him. And a person has to go for it. He has to supply everything needed to his family for existence. Not more than that. He has to respect his parents and help them at their elderly age. But no one can tell him what he will do with his soul. Because all in all, also parents, children, wife, all the relatives, everyone you know, the entire world, they only accompany me in this minimal degree, only for a few decades. And I'm here in order to enter the eternal world, to reveal the eternal life. Therefore, even if they don't understand, if they don't understand my behavior, I don't have to force them to understand, but just to leave me alone. It's my own matter. That's it. And if we'll explain it simply like that, then usually it works out. But if not, well, at the end, a person will decide for himself. But to give up the soul for the benefit of the body, that's a loss of a life. Because the next incarnation will be much more difficult. You shouldn't miss a chance like that. We'll think about you. And when you go home, you'll be welcomed with a smile.
Okay, is the importance of the goal that we receive from the environment, is that impressed upon me through actual spiritual perception, or is it no different than my egoistic like inspiration?
האם חשיבות המטרה שאנחנו סופגים מהסביבה זה משהו שנתפס דרך התפיסה הרוחנית שאני צריך לפתח, או שזה בעצם לא שונה מכל השפעה אגואיסטית אחרת שאני מקבל?
עוד פעם, סליחה.
Can you repeat the question? Does the influence of the environment on us, the importance of the goal, is it perceived through my spiritual perception, through my spiritual sense, or is it like any other influence that's perceived egoistically? The influence from the environment? Few words here don't fit together. I'm not just asking for no reason. What's the influence of the importance of the environment? I'll ask it in my words that I understood. We have to absorb the importance of the goal from the environment. Do we do this through a spiritual sense or through an... No. Completely not. I'm in the society. I have to lose weight. Yeah? You understand me, a few people? So I enter an environment. Now people talk about losing weight there, and I'm impressed by them. People speak how important it is to be thin, and I feel that influence on me, and I stop eating, like before, right? Yeah, I don't completely stop, but I receive this importance in exactly the same way. It's no different. I enter this environment, this society, and receive the importance from them. Why are you at the door? Come in. So I enter this environment that's talking about the spiritual importance, and let's say I have nothing for spirituality. I don't want anything. Just a friend took me there, so I sit down. Once we used to go to a pub, to soccer, and now suddenly he's going somewhere else. Well, okay, as a friend I come with him. It might influence me that in such a way that I'll come to advance as well. Maybe I'll suddenly discover a point in the heart. Maybe I won't discover a point in the heart, but I'll see important people, smart, wise people, and it'll be positive for me to sit by their side. And I'll sit by their side. There are people who sit a month or two or 3 months, and because they were just brought by friends, or usually his wife brings him, like pulls him by the ear like a small child. Not the man brings the woman, but the woman brings the man. It usually almost never happens the opposite. So just by sitting here, let's say his point in the heart had to be revealed in the next incarnation, and in this incarnation then he had to be in this life like we are from previous incarnation, just regular life. So by sitting a few months, with people who are engaging in spirituality, the point awakens and already begins to develop onwards, meaning by that then we hasten our development, our lives. So if I'm in an environment, in a society, and if I like it or not, if I have a point in the heart or not, a tendency for spiritual development, never mind. The main thing is that the environment talks about it. And then I'm impressed. There could be another incident. I'm in a state. I have no internet, I have no connection to the group I have nothing that can project to me the importance of a spirituality, but I have money, so I go out to the street, take a few people unemployed, I pay them money, but they have to be actors a little bit, and I pay the money to act as if spirituality is important. They don't want anything. They're thinking only about the money. But I'll be impressed by what they say to me. They'll sit down and say, yeah, spirituality is important, let's sit down, let's learn, that's enough for me, and then that will impress me and I'll advance. Just by them talking, they'll also advance. So what do I want to say? We're all in the will to receive. That's one law. The other law, we're all impressed by society. And it's not important how real or unreal it is, because it's as if our groups are true. It's as if we know what spirituality is when we talk about the importance of it. But in such a way, we develop. Therefore, there has to be a clear thought, a serious understanding, clear, that yes, we're lying to ourselves, that it's important to us. We don't really care about all these things, but we're lying to ourselves in order to advance from the lie to truth. That is called from lo lishma to lishma, so not for her name, for her name. If a person doesn't lie to himself about being a liar, then that's already truth. A lie over a lie is truth. I say that you find it amusing. No, but that solves many problems for us. First of all, you have to be true. No one wants bestowal, no one wants love of the others, and no one thinks that it's important, and no one thinks that that's what he wants to advance to. He thinks spirituality is something else, that it's something else than what we study about. But still, we advance. Good evening. My name is Harvey. And you spoken many times about emotions. And these emotions can be positive or negative.
¿De qué forma estas emociones afectan nuestro crecimiento espiritual?
In which way do these emotions, sensations, influence the spiritual development? Of course, to the extent that we advance more and more towards spirituality, our emotions change constantly, because we feel we're made from a will to receive, and the will to receive feels either pleasure or pain and nothing more. It seems to us that we feel bitter, sweet, heat, cold, high, low, black, white, yellow, red, pressure, or we don't feel anything besides pleasant or unpleasant. But in different degrees, at different levels, different discernments, that gives us the multiplication of impressions, that it seems to us in sounds, in flavors, in the sense of touch, in many different, never mind in what.
But it's incorrect that we feel all sorts of things besides pleasure or suffering. When we advance towards spirituality, we develop our vessels along the path, our sensations, our emotions, positively and seemingly negative, in pleasant and unpleasant. People are very impressed usually from despair, the failures, the darkness, the advancement towards spirituality that's felt as lack of forces, lack of pleasure, some repulsed sensation, some weakness, because there was our will to receive, the egoistical desire, spirituality appears as such. In order to advance towards spirituality, we have in us two forms of scrutinization. The scrutinization in bitter and sweet, and scrutinization in truth and falseness. If the scrutiny in truth and falseness will be, for me, the main thing would be the truth in comparison to the false. And I would not care about the bitter and sweet. The main thing would be the truth. Then I will be able to advance. Once more, we are seeing here that we need to acquire the measure of importance, the matter which is not so found by me. I don't have it so much. The importance of the darkness, like we said. From where am I going to get that? Once more, the answer is only by the matched environment to give me the importance of spirituality, whatever it may be. And then I advance. Hello.
Hola, querido Rab. Soy Sol de Chile.
Shalom, Rab Yakar. Shmi Sol, mi Chile.
Puedo observar a mi ego malo cada vez que algo me molesta, que me pincha.
I can observe at the evil ego, which is always pinching
me. En esos momentos corrección para ese ego, porque entiendo que es mi ego no corregido el que me está molestando.
And I requested correction on this ego because I understand that this is the ego that's bothering me.
Pero ¿qué pasa cuando este ego me hace sentir bien?
What happens when this ego lets me feel good?
Cuando recibo elogios en mi profesión porque soy artista.
When I receive some good examples as an artist.
Me siento bien haciendo trabajos en mi grupo.
Even when I feel good when I'm working in my group.
Debo seguir pidiendo a la luz que corrija esa sensación también.
Do I need to continue requesting from the light to correcting these sensations that let me feel good? This was done from Chile. Something's wrong there. You can't hear the English. We hear Spanish and Hebrew much higher than English. I don't think you're correctly balancing the volume. English should be the highest. So what happened here suddenly? Wait, so I didn't hear the end of the question.
Al final dije, ¿qué pasaba cuando la sensación de mi ego es bueno? Cuando recibo elogios o incluso cuando estoy trabajando en mi grupo.
What happens when I receive good reactions regarding my ego? How should I have an attitude towards the light with respect to these good sensations in my ego?
Sigo pidiendo corrección, está bien.
Do I continue requesting correction over these sensations? Now we can't hear a thing from what he just said. What's going on there with the sound? I didn't hear the end of what he said in Hebrew. Can you hear me now? Yes, now I can. Look. Why did you begin changing something? I don't understand you guys. Speak, please. The final part of the question is... Wait, lower his volume. Okay. Speak. You just speak. Lower the volume a bit more. Do I have to request correction for these... emotions, sensations? Okay, I don't think the rest of the audience heard the question in English, by the way. But okay. I would say this. In spiritual advancement, it doesn't matter what we should be feeling, pleasant or unpleasant. We go through all sorts of sensations. Our vessels develop. Mainly, our vessels develop in one direction. That I don't care what to feel, the main thing that it would be spiritual. I only need that. Better my death than my life. Give me whatever I want, whatever you want. I just want it to be spiritual. This is what we advance towards finally. The Creator arranges for us all sorts of states, pleasant and unpleasant, high, low. They make truly mops out of us. He shows us what a nature of a will to receive it created in us, just how horrid it is, and just awful. Just how we ourselves are embarrassed of ourselves and shame, we suffer from this and more, but only one thing here: if a person does not leave despite that it's very unpleasant, and the Creator arranges for each and every one such state that a person will be ready to get rid of his ego, meaning that he'll feel bad in his ego. He'll desire to exit it. Then, in the end, over the good things, just like the bad things, yes, truly, to the same extent, he will say, I don't want it. I don't want any sensation. I want spiritual awareness. That's it. But once more, I'm saying about this development, and this can be very slow or very quick. It all depends how much a person is found to be in a matching society, lessons with the society, and like we spoke about during the preparation. The preparation is the summary of everything. This preparation, this intention in the time of the study, this is what I am exiting with all this generality of what I have in this world towards spirituality. We have the group here and study. Oh, what am I doing here? So he wrote there, group, learning, friends.
Teacher.
Oh, teacher. Okay. That's right, teacher.
Books.
Books? All right. Let's write books. Maybe we'll just write source. Husband, wife? That's not important. It's environment, yes. The surrounding. Well, in short, all these things, if we arrange them correctly, and we think about this a lot, long time, every day, yes, how can I say this, I don't know, if we think about this for a long time every day, we get a correct preparation. Preparation. And this, with this, we exit towards spirituality. We have summarized, yes, coming to the lesson. So, before the lesson and after the lesson, yes? And then, when we are in such a state, that's it. We can hasten all our development. Our only problem is from this that we're not arranging, how can I say this? We're not collecting all these elements, and in the time of the lesson, to constantly demand the reaction. Well, the response, yes, you could say that's correct, but I would say healing, the treatment. Hey, Rabbi.
as the concept of creator and the light is one of the important and basic concepts of Kabbalah, I want to know what's the difference between the traditional concept of God that we get from religions and the concept of creator that we discuss in Kabbalah.
Being that the ideal of the creator and the light is a fundamental idea in the wisdom of Kabbalah, I wanted to know what's the difference between what we know as God from religions and how Kabbalah explains this thing. The difference between the creator and the wisdom of Kabbalah and the creator in all the religions, I don't know, faiths. It's very simple. There is a force called nature. It operates on all the parts. This force, this general force, we call it the upper force. Upper not because it's found above towards those like in Australia, you know, it would be below. Yeah? Rather, he is above us in the sense of his attribute. What attribute? We are all a will to enjoy, a will to receive, we're all egoistic. He is higher than us because he has an attribute of giving and love, bestowal. That's it. Other than this, nothing. I don't want to get into the criticism on religions and faiths. Religions began about 2,000 years ago, which was precisely that same group of Kabbalists
that lived in the awareness of the spiritual world that used to be called the nation of Israel. It descended from its spiritual degree. It stopped feeling spirituality. And what remained for those people who stopped feeling spirituality is that they started playing around with all these customs. And that's where Judaism emerged from. A religion, Judaism. From Judaism, later the Christianity developed, and then a few hundred years later, the Islam. All of the religions they all emerged, they all were born from the concealment of spirituality. Even though they took these nice words from there, that we must love the other, we must reach love and bestowal. In the meantime, they killed one another. That's not important, though. But that's the way it is, you know. They didn't use this method of Kabbalah in order to correct man, and we see that we are constantly in this developing ego. And we don't even speaking about that a person has to correct himself in words here and there than we do. But it's not that he has that precise goal in front of him, and that's what he has to do. But it's been said, exist here as a good person and you'll be rewarded there. Towards the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's all a lie. All religions, never mind which religions. First of all, if a person hasn't opened up his soul, never mind now or later after he dies, there's no difference. For us, the spiritual world is concealed, but it exists. It's not that now it doesn't exist, and then when I die it will exist. Also it exists now, but I just don't feel it. So if I don't feel it now, out of not having a vessel to feel it, don't have a soul, then why, when this beast dies, because my body is just a beast, it has nothing, it's just a living creature, so why should I feel spirituality when it dies? Why is it disturbing me from feeling this spirituality? This piece of flesh disturbs me? No, my ego disturbs me. And my ego won't die with this body. This beast is not egoistic. It's just a beast. My ego is spiritual. Let's say it's anti-spiritual. So, if through my life I correct my ego, then I feel in it, spirituality, inside the actual corrected ego. And if I don't correct it, then I have nowhere to feel spirituality in. And I exist in a live or unalive body, not related to spirituality even. We have questions there, yes.
I read frequently about making demands from the Creator, and tonight you've told us that we should demand healing during the lesson. Who am I to make a demand, and what exactly does that mean?
No? Sorry, can you go again?
Yes.
No.
Are we ready?
And loud, if you can.
הם לא מבינים מה שאת שואלת, מה לעשות, no?
My question has to do with this concept of making a demand from the Creator. I read about it, and tonight you've told us that during our lessons we should demand healing. What does that mean? And who am I, who is anyone to make a demand from the Creator?
שאלה שלי קשורה לעניין הזה של לדרוש מהבורא, דיברת על זה היום בהכנה לשיעור, ושצריך לדרוש ריפוי מהבורא. ובעצם מי אני שאני יכולה לדרוש משהו מהבורא?
You're a creature, like everyone, like me, like everyone else here. The Creator has created us purposely from one complete will to receive. He shattered it into pieces. He descended these pieces down to the most distant degree, the lowest degree, the worst degree, which is called this world. And he expects, he waits anxiously for each and every one, man, woman, smart, stupid, righteous, wicked, never mind who and what. He's waiting for them to ask him to raise them up to him. What does it mean, up to him? That we will demand Not just to ask, maybe you can do this, that will actually demand it, that he'll turn me into being exactly like him. I understand that you don't really feel like it, because you don't know what it is. But if you would see what it is, then you'd have enough guts to demand it. Just now, it's not coming. It's not. See what I'm saying? Who am I to ask? We were created here in order to demand. What does it mean to demand? That I want to be like the Creator? That I respect his degree, that I actually see that he is great. That's called to want to be like him. If a person doesn't want to be like him, then he does not respect spirituality. Because we're all egoists. And if we'll see that it's something great and big, then we would want it. So our ego slowly develops, grows, and we will want to be like him. We can speak about this for a lot. When opens up for a person, even slightly, what it is, the spiritual world, then he's not shy anymore to ask for it. Besides, you also have a confusion. What does it mean to be like the Creator? To be like the Creator means to be giving, to be loving. So what are you asking? You're asking to be giving to one, to be one who loves the others. And a person is not shy to be like that. He's asked already, do you want him?
No. Can I ask something again?
Last question.
Okay,
maybe save it to tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, sure. Okay, yeah, sure.
I'll study a little bit more then.
He said, I'll study a little bit more. We have to let as many people ask as possible. Go ahead.
Sí, buenas noches. Mi nombre es Bárbara y, bueno, antes que todo yo quiero agradecerle por todas las enseñanzas y por todas las transmisiones a Israel y aquí a Nueva York.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for your lessons and everything you do for us in the entire world, in Israel, in New York.
I'd really like to thank everything that you're doing and the lessons for us from here and from New York.
Yo escucho todas las noches sus lecciones y he aprendido de usted que dentro de mí está el grupo, está el creador, está el ambiente y está todo.
אני דרך השיעורים אני לומדת למדתי ממך לומדת ממך שאצלי נמצא הכל הקבוצה הבורא ואת עצמי.
Through the lessons I learned from you that everything is within myself, the group, the creator and myself.
Entonces quiere decir que yo misma por mí misma nazco, por mí misma me corrijo, por mí misma me elevo espiritualmente, por mí misma me castigo y por mí misma creo todo.
Lachen ani bezkhut atzmi ani noladet ani
מתקן את עצמי, אני...
מה השאלה?
What's the question? I want to hear a question, I'm sorry. Actually, that's the question. That's the question. Does it all depend on me? Do I punish myself? It has to be clear. The world is in us. Okay, so what? So it turns out that I... Maybe she wants to ask like this. It turns out that whatever I treat the others incorrectly, then eventually I treat myself incorrectly. That's true. I steal, I kill, I do horrors. Then it's revealed that I did it to myself. Like if a person does an evil act to someone and then he discovers that it's his son. And even worse, much worse. Even nations towards nations, it says in the Zohar, things that are very exciting, that all the wars, everything that people kill one another, all the horrors in the world, eventually, we'll discover that by doing all those things, they're just giving blows to themselves. Yes.
Entonces quiere decir que yo misma estoy en contra del creador, que yo soy la enemiga del creador.
Does this also mean that I myself am the enemy of the Creator too?
We're not the enemies of the Creator. We're only throughout all of our development in this world, historically, and then on the spiritual degrees, we prepare our vessels, our desires, our feelings in order to reach a state to be like him. The purpose of creation is to develop us to be complete and internal as he is. And everything we go through is only in order for us to have those abilities like the Creator. The purpose of creation in the first place was to create the creatures to be exactly like he is. So everything we go through, of course it's unpleasant, all this development,
but it is entirely obligatory, necessary in order to reach his state.
We have questions from all over the world coming in, and one of the questions is from Australia. Is it still the ego that tells us that we have no right to demand of the Creator?
Once again, we have questions coming in from all the world, around the world. From Australia, there's a question, is it the ego that tells us we have no right to demand the Creator? It shows basically lack of the desire, not more than this. What happened with the speakers now again? One, two, three. Well... Okay, now it sounds fine. Okay. It shows lack of desire. I'm don't understand these questions so much, where they come from. A person who develops, who learns, I will speak about this quite a bit, yes? Today it's not like a formal lesson, it's just that we've gathered here. We came here before the Congress, so, because the Congress begins tomorrow. So this is like a private discussion among us. A person found to be in the correct environment, society, that he receives his impression from the friends, from the teacher, from the books. He doesn't have questions. Can you ask the Creator for something? You're not allowed to ask him. There's opposite questions. Why am I not receiving? I deserve this, and I'm not getting it. A person's ego develops. Why are we suddenly embarrassed? Like, where? Have you ever seen kids, babies, who are embarrassed of their parents? A child. He screams. He demands of his parents. You know, everything he wants. And this exactly has to be our demand towards the Creator in such a manner. The Creator is the force of creation. It's not someone found there up in the sky, sitting on a cloud, and I don't know, maybe Santa Claus or something, and like waiting for us to cry before him. It's the force, it's the law of creation. It surrounds all of creation. That if we desire, yes, it's not that we turn towards someone. We simply open our desire, and by that in itself we rise above. The Creator is the spiritual field that according to our desire we advance in. It's not that I request from him, and if he will want, then yes, I'll feel better. And if he won't feel like it, I'll feel bad. And I have to check exactly what's my attitude towards him, how I'm requesting from him. Am I asking nicely or not? I can ask very, very nicely. There is like a law of gravity, and if I jump from the 10th floor, we know what's going to happen, because the force of gravity is also him. And that should be our attitude towards spirituality. Are we performing, are we carrying out the laws? Then we are not. If we're carrying them out, we enter. And if we don't, then we don't enter. There's no protection in this. It doesn't matter how nice or pleasant I will be. He perceives my internal desires. Him, meaning that same upper force, that spiritual field. And how much we match ourselves to that, we advance towards it. These are laws. And thus, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, where do we ever learn that we should request, ask nicely or not? There's thickness, there's screen, direct light, returning light, degrees of thickness, forces, or shimot. This is like physics. We don't have these lyrics, these words from religion or something. We are in nature. The Creator is nature. In nature, there are only laws. I think I tired you guys out. Right? You're young, so you're saying, nah. Look, people are sleeping next to you. What? We just wanted to say, during this lesson today, there were friends with us from around the world, from Moscow, from Kiev, from Peter, Germany, Italy, El Salvador, Israel, Australia, Mexico, and many more friends from around the U.S. who couldn't come to the Congress physically. Let's leave something for them. What do you like singing? What song? Come on.
This is a message from God to stop the war. This is a message from nature. You can be sure. This is a message of love awakening your soul. This is a message from above.
I think that was a pretty good preparation for the rest of the Congress, right?